Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Panelcast. This is episode 181, and I'm your host, AJ Herrera, back with you once again to help guide you through these wonderful and amazing geek times that we're living in. Oh my gosh. In this episode, once again, I am flying solo. That's okay because I have a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about, including San Diego Comic-Con 2017. I'll also be reviewing a few movies, including Atomic Blonde, Valerian, and The City of a Thousand Planets, and Dunkirk. All of which, and the news, I got to kind of cover here in this episode. Oh, and I almost forgot. The video game Horizon Zero Dawn. Oh man, I've got a lot to say about that game. So, all that and more after we take our first break.
Hi, this is Vanessa with Blackbird Bows, inviting you to visit my website at blackbirdbows.com, where you can find 100% original and customized bows for every occasion. That's blackbirdbows.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. So, first up, Normally, the show starts off with us going over some of the news bits and whatnot that's out there right now to try and keep you guys up to date on cool stuff. Well, fuck you. I don't mean that in such an angry tone. Let me just rephrase that. If you haven't been paying attention to all of the news and all the trailers and everything that's come out recently from San Diego Comic-Con last weekend, then I'm sorry. I don't know what to do or how to help you out with that. It is literally an abundance of news and stories that have come out that's so overwhelming that we could spend the entire show talking about it. And without somebody here to offer a counterpoint to the discussions, it would just seem really boring. So instead of doing that, I just invite you guys to please check out Forbidden Panel. Check out some of the other sites up there. Hell, even check out Facebook and catch up on all the news and trailers that are out there. Because I tell you, the movies themselves, the trailers, phenomenal. I was highly impressed. And so with that, we'll just lead straight into my review of San Diego Comic-Con 2017. So first, I guess instead of a review, this is kind of more of me telling the story. So let me paint the picture. Fellow Forbidden Panel, Illustrialite, or however you say that, my homie, Richard, and I cruised down to San Diego. We went there a little later than normally because they were nice enough to mail us our passes, so there was no reason to go down there and get a line for a pass and do all that other drama. Unfortunately, Richard did not re-register as a pro this year, so he was just going to go ahead and kick back outside while I go to preview night, and then we'd all go to dinner afterwards. Sounds easy, fun enough, right? So on my way, once we get to the convention, to the convention center, we split ways and I go to walk over toward the disabled services. For those of you who don't know, I've had surgery on my knee. I've always had problems with both of my knees. The ligaments and meniscus inside there are just pretty much non-existent, shredded, to the point where on a good day, I won't walk with the limp, but I'll still be in a little bit of pain. On a bad day, I have my crutches out. So because this is the comic convention, and I literally just had surgery a month ago, I not only braced my knee up, but I brought my crutches as well, just to protect myself. So as soon as I hit the convention center and I literally walked inside and had somebody run, not paying attention, and clip my leg, my bad leg, and took my crutch out from underneath me and my bad leg, and I ate it on the ground. It was fairly embarrassing, and I was very unhappy. And when I went to go kill this man, he had kept running because he's a little bitch. But anyway, so, you know, I helped myself up now in extreme pain, continued on to disabled services, got my sticker for being disabled, and while I was there, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and get a cart, a little scooter, a little Rascal, so I can cruise around Comic-Con. Maybe it'll make things a little easier. I can take the weight off my knee and survive a little longer on the floor. Well, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever tried to drive a scooter in a 130,000 people crowd? It sucks, let me tell you. It was so crowded, it was hard for me to maneuver anywhere. It's hard for anybody to maneuver anywhere. Everybody was so busy looking up at all the pretty that nobody bothered to look down. And people kept continuously running into my cart, running into my bad knee. And so I really didn't get anywhere. I spent 2 hours on the floor. And during the 2 hours on the floor, I'm a professional in that I work in the comic book industry. A lot of you know this. I've been working in the comic book industry for a better part of 10 years now. Writing, creating, directing, producing, editing, putting out, publishing all the comic books here at Forbidden Panel, as well as a few others that a lot of people don't know about. Well, because of my issues and my knees and whatnot, I only planned to go down for free preview night because, you know, again, I knew my knees weren't going to last all day at a convention. I go to get in line at Hasbro so I can buy some exclusives. I mean, the skateboarding Optimus Prime. Come on, who doesn't want that? And I am immediately removed from line. I was told by Hasbro that preview night was only for attendees. Professionals and exhibitors were only allowed to purchase from Hasbro on the other days. I tried to argue my case with the gentleman and explain that not only am I only down there for the day, but that I'm handicapped, I'm a professional, and this is the only time I'm here to be able to make purchases. How dare you not want my money? I was then told tough shit and asked to please move because my cart was blocking the line. So I left pissed and unhappy. So I guess my beef really is more with Hasbro. No, my beef was Comic-Con. This, it wasn't just this incident, but cruising around, looking around and trying to participate, trying to enjoy everything that I saw on the floor, which there was a lot of, trust me. I take nothing away from any of the vendors or anybody on the floor trying to show their hard work and their artistic qualities and skills by being on the floor and having a booth space. My problem is, once again, it's overcrowded. Comic-Con is way overcrowded. There's 130,000 people inside. Outside of the convention was way more, a lot more people, not more than 130,000, more people out there. And it was to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. After 2 hours of being on the floor, of trying to get in, trying to see what I could see, trying to enjoy myself, I found myself not only in more pain, but overwhelmed with everything. There was just too much. It's not fun anymore. Comic-Con has stopped being fun. It has stopped being about comic books. It's more about what comic book shit you can get. You know, and it's not, nobody wants to talk to any of the independent artists or creators or people that help a convention get as big as they got. No, people want to go there and see movie clips and trailers and get free swag and get exclusives that they can sell on eBay and just run around like mad. And that's the experience that I got here. I've been going to Comic-Con since I was a kid, and this has been the worst that it has ever been. Not only is there way too much going on there, but there's way too much people. Comic-Con should be broken up, you know, and spread out. 5 days just isn't enough. That venue, that location, San Diego, it's not enough anymore. It has outgrown itself, and it needs to do something about it. And unfortunately, that's the experience I took away from it. I know we had a couple other people there on the floor throughout the week, and they enjoyed themselves, but everybody I talked to had the same problem. Too much crowds, too much going on, no time to enjoy yourself. It's like shopping on Black Friday. Black Friday was 5 days long. That's Comic-Con. And unfortunately, I don't think I'll be going anymore, except for the dinner. The dinner was fun, and I want to thank everyone who came out to our dinner and participated and joined us. It means a lot for me that people are showing up to this event that I've been doing for 9 years. Next year will be our 10th anniversary, so that'll be a lot of fun. Hopefully we can get a good crowd, good group out there. Thanks especially to Jimmy Purcell of BenBetter.com webcomic. Man, he came out there. He comes out every year. Whether he comes up to hang out with us or if he just comes out and grabs the mac and cheese, I don't care. I'm just going to pretend like he's out to see us because he likes us. So, Jimmy, thanks a lot for being out there, man. That's Comic-Con pretty much wrapped up in a nutshell. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when I come back, I'll talk about some of the movies I've been seeing.
Hi everyone, Robert here at QPC Toys & More inviting you to visit our store in Victorville. We are the premier comic, toy, and collectible store in the High Desert. Sign up for our comic pull list service and never miss an issue again. Like us on Facebook to stay up to date on sales, promotions, and events. Mention this podcast in the store to receive 10% off your total purchase. QPC Toys & More. Yes, we have candy too. Located on Hesperia Road, next to the Tri-City Car Wash. Please don't forget.
All my friends are hey everybody, welcome back to the Panelcast. I hope I didn't discourage or upset anybody with the last segment. It's just, for me, it was a lot. And so I don't mean to discourage anybody. It is a lot to see. There's a lot of wonderful things to go out there, and I definitely want you all to go and support the comic book industry. I just wish, I just hope that you enjoy some of the smaller conventions that keep popping up all over California. That way you can really support the little guy if you can't see the big guy at these conventions. So you have other options, and I hope that you take them and enjoy them as well. Moving forward, going to talk about the movies, some of the movies I've seen in the past couple weeks. Let's start off with Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. So we've all seen the trailers for this, right? Luc Besson's new film. We were all fairly excited because we were just like, oh man, this is going to be the new Fifth Element. I loved the Fifth Element so much. The commercials are showing aspects of the Fifth Element that's going to hopefully tie into this film or allow me to enjoy this film just as much as I enjoyed The Fifth Element. Fifth Element, Fifth Element. That's all I heard anybody saying as they were walking in the theater. That's all I was thinking of as I entered the theater myself. I've been excited to see this for so long. I tried to get the comic book, but unfortunately, it's a huge series and very difficult to get a hold of. It started in 1967 and ended its run in 2010. So trying to figure out exactly which one, which one to start off at, what to read, and so on and so forth, it was fairly difficult for me. So instead, I decided to go ahead and, you know, watch the film and hopefully not miss out on too much. Okay, so this movie sucked. I can't see any other way to put it. The story was fairly simple but interesting, and the movie begins with an explanation of the plot and introduction of the plot. And in that aspect, the first 10 minutes of the movie was really great. The movie is beautiful. It is a sight to behold. If I was just going to see the movie on visuals alone, I would not be disappointed. A great mix of prosthetic creature feature effects and CGI. They did a great job of mixing them all together. What they failed at doing was getting good actors to portray anything whatsoever in this movie, or getting these actors to seemingly give a fuck about any of the characters they were portraying in the movie. The first 10 minutes give a great plot point as to where everything's going to start, and the rest of the film just falls to shit afterwards. Story-wise, it was fine. I was all on board for it, you know, whatever, what have you. It was cool. It was enough to keep me there and not make me walk out, as was the visuals. Dane DeHaan was shit in this movie. It has to be his worst film that he's done since portraying Harry Osborn in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Electric Boogaloo. It was just bad. It was, which is sad, because I just recently saw him in A Cure for Wellness, and he did a great job in that film. I was all down for it, and I loved him in Chronicle. I thought he did a great job in Chronicle as well. Unfortunately, he must have forgot all of that shit that he had been doing, and came into this movie and just didn't care. Halfway through it, I was like, man, you are the new Keanu Reeves. You have no inflection in your voice whatsoever. You don't seem to care. And I have a hard time believing you as a hero. It just, it doesn't sit well with me. Cara Delevingne, many of you may remember her from Suicide Squad. If you decide to sit through Suicide Squad, she played the Enchantress. And while she is lovely and beautiful, she's not exactly a powerhouse when it comes to acting. In this film, it's kind of the same. There's nothing really wrong with her. She does her job of supporting character well, but I find myself having a problem believing in their symmetry working together. It just didn't fit for me. So I did not like it in that aspect. Clive Owen filmed in his performance. The surprising actor that probably killed everything was Herbie Hancock. For those of you who grew up in the 90s, we all know Herbie Hancock's music. So to see him showing up in this film, it was a nice surprise. Rihanna and Ethan Hawke had to... Ethan Hawke, I swear to God, he must have, like... I don't know what he did to get roped into this movie. But he basically was in the movie for 5 minutes, and all you saw was his back. Rihanna, she was the same. She was in it for about 5 minutes. And you've seen in the trailer where she morphs into different costumes and stuff. Well, you know, it turns into more of that, and it becomes ridiculous, and it just... At one point, she becomes CGI, and it's not even her anymore, it's just her voice. What's the point? This whole movie is a big bag of what's the point. It's beautiful enough that you want to see it on the big screen, but you want to catch it at a matinee or at a dollar theater. And then not really worry about it ever again for the rest of your life, period. So there you have it. Valerian, the City of a Thousand Planets. I wish one of those planets had a good plot line and some decent actors. Maybe they would have been done better. Thankfully, moving on to the next movie. See the segue? Thankfully, this next film blew Valerian out of the water. This next film was the epitome of what filmmaking is about. And that film is Dunkirk. Now, for those of you who don't know, Dunkirk is the reflection or the storytelling of a battle that happened in Dunkirk, Germany. I believe it's Germany, or maybe in France. I don't remember. I'm stupid. Anyway, Dunkirk was this huge battle, and it was one in which many different stories were told. It was a very harsh battle. The film kind of covers that. But I can't go too deep into what the film was about because I don't want to give it away. You obviously, if you know your history, you know Dunkirk and what happened. This film takes that happening and puts it into three different viewpoints. So you follow three different groups of people and their actions and involvement with Dunkirk. So, having said that, this movie was beautiful, first off. If you see it anywhere, IMAX, definitely an IMAX-type screen. If you have an IMAX, an RPX, a DFX, a Cine One, any type of bigger than a normal screen viewing environment that you can take advantage of, do it there, because it is amazingly shot. It's shot in IMAX 7mm, so it's not like they converted it. It's shot in that film, so it's worth it. So you're getting original craft work in that aspect. The acting. Let me tell you, the dialogue in this film, you can probably fit into a couple of text messages describing the film. That's how little dialogue there is in the film. And because of that, it brings the message home. It makes it more powerful. This is one of the most powerful films I have seen in a long time. It is worth every emotion that it pulls out of you, and it will pull out a lot of emotions. And fantastic storytelling as well. I cannot rave enough about this film. Go see it if you have a chance. Nobody deserves top billing in this film because nobody wants it. Everybody does their role and plays their part perfectly. Even, and I have to say this, I'm sorry, but Harry Styles of One Direction, who's in this film, I didn't know. Like, I knew there was a One Direction guy in the film. I didn't know who he was because I don't know Harry One Direction, so I didn't know which actor it was or which character it was until after the movie was over. And then I saw it in the credit roll. That's how good he does. That's how good everybody does in this film. Everybody brought their A game and did a phenomenal job. So if you're not bothered by modern warfare type films, as my former co-host Anthony was, go see this movie because I guarantee you will enjoy it. And when you do, hit me up because I'd love to know your opinion about it. That brings us to our third and final movie, one I just saw last night with my wife, Atomic Blonde. We've all seen the trailers. Charlize Theron running around, beating the shit out of everybody like she's John Wick. You know, we've seen it. We know it. I saw it last night. It's fucking awesome. First off, and I'm surprised by this, as I'm sure some of you are as well, I did not realize Atomic Blonde was based off of a graphic novel. The Coldest City, which was published by Oni Press, surprised me. I need to go pick it up and read it, because, man, this movie was badass. The basic plot is there's a spy who has to find a list of double agents who are being smuggled into the West on the eve of the collapse of the Berlin Wall. And that's all you really need to know. It'll fill you in the rest of the time. Charlize Theron, I mean, come on, man. When has she turned in a bad performance? Okay, Fast and Furious does not count. But that wasn't really her fault. That was her dreads. You know, blame the dreads. She does a great job. And here, James McAvoy coming fresh off of his filming of X-Men Apocalypse. You can tell because he's growing his hair back. John Goodman, Tilda Swinton, and Sophie Boutella. If you don't know who she is by now, I'm not even going to tell you. I will tell you this, though. This film is shot in pure 80s style. And if there's no other reason to see this film, see it for the soundtrack, because it is beautifully done and intentionally inserted into the film in a way that it becomes a part of it. And for those of you out there that enjoy a good, you know, how do I say this part? Lesbian love scene. Sophia Boutella and Charlize Theron, two thumbs up. You get Oscars for that scene, man. Even my wife was like, damn. So, the action is awesome. The story is awesome. Everything about it is awesome. The set pieces, the fighting. It's so poignant. The camera work in this thing alone is just phenomenal. It's not an Oscar winner, by no means. It is not Dunkirk. But if you want good, fun, hard-hitting, badass action, Atomic Blonde is the one for you. So go check it out. And that pretty much wraps it up. So I'm going to go ahead and take another quick break. And when I come back, I'll be discussing Horizon Zero Dawn.
Hey guys, this is Dan.
And this is Jen.
We're your hosts on The Road Ahead.
Add us on Facebook and find out about some of the interesting, odd, and amazing places you can visit on your next road trip.
Just go to www.facebook.com/The Road Ahead Series. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Road Ahead Series, or simply follow us at Road Ahead Series.
Thanks, and we'll see you on The Road Ahead. Now back to the panel cast.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in. Like I said, I know it may be boring just hearing me chat, hearing my opinion, and if you don't like it or you have a counterpoint to any of my opinions or anything that I've said, please shoot me an email. I'll be more than happy to have you on the show to discuss any of the things that we review, if you have anything you want to add to it or disagree to it. Or shoot me an email because you want to remind me of something I may have missed. I'll read it out loud over the air, and then we can go from there, you know. At worst, I laugh at you and say no. I'm just kidding, folks. I'm not going to do that. Moving forward, so the thing that I've been doing when I'm not doing anything else, including breathing, is playing Horizon Zero Dawn. Instead of trying to make up my own stuff for this game, let me go ahead and I'll just read you the wiki description of it. Horizon Zero Dawn is an action role-playing video game developed by Guerrilla Games and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment for the PlayStation 4 and released early 2017. The plot revolves around Aloy, a hunter and archer living in a world overrun by robots. Having been an outcast her whole life, she sets out to discover the dangers that kept her sheltered. The character uses ranged weapons and a spear and stealth tactics to combat the mechanized creatures whose remains can be looted for resources. A skill tree provides the player with new abilities and passive bonuses. The game features an open-world environment for Aloy to explore, divided into tribes that hold side quests to undertake, while the main story guides her across the entire map. The concept explores the contrast between beauty and danger of the game's setting. Guerrilla Games emphasizes trial and error as the basis for playing the game, choosing not to implement a tutorial. The game engine, Decima, was previously engineered for the Killzone, Shadowfall, and altered for Horizon Zero Dawn. This is the studio's first attempt at developing a role-playing game. It won the Best Original Game at the Game Critics Awards in 2015-16. At release, it received generally favored reviews from critics who praised the open world, story, visuals, combat, the character of Aloy, and the performance provided by her voice actress, Ashley Birch, who's giving criticism to the dialogue, melee combat, and character models. It was the best-selling launch of an original IP on the PlayStation 4 console, and as of June of this year, has sold 3.4 million copies, making it the second-best PlayStation 4 video game. Yeah. I don't know if you caught that one part that said open world. For those of you who know me, I hate open world. I hate it with a fiery passion. And yet, I've put in 40 hours into this game. I've only gotten about 35% completed. Because it's open world. If you've ever seen that episode A Family Guy, where I can't remember his name, James Woods is running around and going, ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. That's this game. Every 5 seconds, ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Because you have to forage throughout this forest to find things and items to help you out. Health, arrows, arrowheads. The money you use in this game is called metal shards. You have to forage for it. You have to forage through the animals, the creatures that are that have been like perverted by the mechanics. Sorry, I know I jarred right there. My bad. And you have to forage all day. I have literally sat there and said, you know what? Today I'm going to forage, and that's all I'm going to do all day. And that's what I did. I somehow managed to put in 6 hours of gameplay, broadcasting 6 hours of gameplay. My wife left because she's in a play right now. My wife came in one day. She said, hey, I'm leaving. Bye. Love you. Leaves. She comes right back in. And I'm like, what, you forget something? She's like, no. I just got home. She left 6 hours before. I lost 6 hours playing this freaking game. I thought she had just left. That's how bad this game is. It is a lot of fun. It is beautiful. One of the most beautiful games I've ever played. But it feels like you're playing... Uncharted. It feels like you're playing Uncharted on crack. Like, seriously. Every 5 seconds. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. You have to hunt animals down for their meat, their skin, their bones, their oils. You have to fish with bows and arrows. You have to build different types of bows and arrows. You have to go and trade with merchants so that you can upgrade your different costumes, your different weapons, your different potions, your different traps. You have to... Luckily, thank God, they developed the system much like in The Legend of Zelda, where they have these campfires that you can go up and do a quick save or a manual save. And you can also teleport between each of these campfires, so it saves you some time. You also gain the ability to call to do, and I can't even think of it right now because I'm zoning out on everything else that I'm doing. You have an opportunity to infect these creatures and get them to be on your side. Some of them become a horse or something that you can ride along in the game, a mount that you can use, so you can get around a lot faster. Some of them just join your fighting side, so when you're attacked by other monsters and other creatures, these things change size and join you. So, there is that. There is a lot of, there's a lot of planning and style that goes into the fighting system. You need to know the weakness of the animals that you're fighting. You need to know their strengths, their weaknesses, what armor they're wearing. They have these little things called canisters on them. Do they have canisters? Are the canisters susceptible to fire or ice? Which ones and where are they? Can I get to it with an arrow? Do I need to melee it? Blah, 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 blah. I could go on, much like the game. But it's fun. Basically, what the whole point of the game is, you're set somewhere way in the future. And vegetation and has taken over the whole planet. And your character's name is Aloy. By the way, every character in this in the story is some play on metallic sounding names or descriptions. Aloy being Alloy. The person that raised her was Roust. Rust. You get the idea. So these people are outcasts from a tribe. She goes and does a trial so that she becomes a member of the tribe. And then goes on a search for what is infecting all of these creatures that are out there. The creatures that are out there, again, they're mechanical creatures that resemble Earth-made animals of the past. You have your longhorns. You have your velociraptor-looking guys. You have your flyers. You have all that stuff out there. Crabs, things like that. Except they're made of metal and circuitry. So your job is to go and figure out why they are suddenly infected with the virus and attacking everybody. You do so by interfacing with these random computers that you find buried in spaceships and old cities beneath the ground of which you're currently exploring. So while the natives think of all of this as like some sort of deity, you somehow have the DNA of somebody that was in charge and is able to interact with the machinery. So you end up taking on all these quests and whatnot to figure shit out, basically. And there you have it. It's a lot more in-depth than that, if you can believe it. Like, as if I didn't get really in-depth with the description to begin with. But, again, I can't give away too much. I'm 40 hours into the game. I'm about 30% complete, but I'm stupid. I'm grabbing every resource I can get. I go foraging a lot. I go starting shit with the animals just for no reason, because I try to build up my inventory and I'm trying to boost up my character before getting into too heavy a battle, you know. So that's what I've been doing. I'm also playing on very easy. Say what you will about it, man, but I want to enjoy the story, not spend my entire life fighting one guy or spend days trying to beat one boss. That's just how I am. Maybe I'm not as good as everybody else, and so be it. I've seen people run through and beat this game anywhere from 20 to 40 hours, but I like the side quests. I like everything I'm doing, and I'm taking my time going through it. Plus, I'm really burnt out on Call of Duty, so this gives me something to do. So if you like games like that, if you like games like Red Dead Redemption, Uncharted, Tomb Raider, stuff like that, if you like that, but really like super massively crazy Final Fantasy-esque open world games, then Horizon Zero Dawn is the one for you. If you hate open world games like I do, run away. Run far, far away. So there you have it. That wraps up my review for Horizon Zero Dawn, and that wraps up this week's or this episode of the Panelcast. Please, everybody, please check out our Instagram, Forbidden Panel on Instagram. You'll see all the pictures that we took from Comic-Con up there. There's some great shots that a lot of our contributors took photos of and added up there. You can find us on Facebook for all of our events and all of our stuff coming up. September 30th is the next show that we'll be at. That will be NerdBotCon. Please come check that out and find us there. We'll have a nice little booth with a couple of surprises and all of our creators and artists there too. And that about wraps us up. Social media is our bitch. So find us anywhere. Just Google Forbidden Panel. You know how to do it. That's how you found us to begin with. I'm AJ. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll catch you on episode 182.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.